is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN Studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network, a live edition here on this conference championship Saturday. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. How's championship week going for you? We got championship conference championships Saturday, title games coming up here. Bracket tomorrow. How we doing?
I did an interview with a reporter, business reporter from the Las Vegas Sun. The theme of the article she's writing is about the rise of March Madness in Las Vegas and why Las Vegas is the best place, which is very similar to why was Vegas the best place to have the Super Bowl. I said, I think the real story is the rise of championship week over the last half decade. And I walked in here. I did follow the money with Mitch and Paul, and I went and had breakfast. The energy in the book at 8:30 a.m. on Thursday morning was incredible.
Yep.
I mean, it was a buzz like it would be on next Thursday, right? And it was yesterday at 1 p.m. we didn't have one open seat, and we charged for the, you know, beverage minimum for the bleacher seating, stadium seating. So we were in Phoenix hoping to see the Cubs play the White Sox. I want to see Cade Horton pitch for the Cubs. And we shot some footage that Marquee can use during the year, but it rained for two straight hours. And they said the game wouldn't go to four. Here's another Noah. Again, they're getting the arcs ready. Well, there's no place for it to go. Every intersection's flooded already after a day and a half of rain. So anyhow, they were sending us pictures in Phoenix. And the guys that were here, I mean, it was just, I saw one poor couple dressed in Tennessee garb. I said, that's a tough beat. You lose that early and get killed, yeah, and now you're there the rest of the day. But this, I've always said it's a better week to come here. One, the availability and pricing is much better than a week later, right? It costs you triple in the book and double for a hotel room next week. And there's a lot more betting opportunities. People forget there's only 16 games on Thursday, 16 on Friday, 8 and 8. I mean, Thursday here, and Paulie argued with me that Friday's the best day. I said Thursday is a top three betting day. He says Friday's better. But Friday has half the games of Thursday, right?
And talking about for this week, championship week?
Oh, okay. From a handicapping, just from a betting standpoint. And I think there's actually an advantage when teams have played or are playing a third time from a handicapping perspective. I know from an entertainment perspective, the David Goliath of next Thursday and Friday. Yeah,
you can't beat it.
You can't beat that. You can't recreate it. But strictly from a betting perspective, I think this week is far superior.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about the energy. I was in here yesterday afternoon / early evening, and we ran into each other there. And it's like the book was completely packed. Like, I wasn't anticipating. I was like, oh, there might be some seats. You know, let's go to Circa and see what's going on. I was like, oh, there's no seats. Everything is filled up there. But it was a fun atmosphere here if you're watching some of the games. I do think from an entertainment standpoint, yesterday is the best day just because it's the semifinals of a lot of the big conferences that we see. So we get all the big boys playing. Then we get the quarters of the Big Ten and the SEC. So those games start to kind of get into our stream of consciousness to where it's just a lot of really good teams playing. And it's a lot of fun basketball. And it's a great day to go ahead and make a lot of bets. And it was a good day for me yesterday. I don't know what it is. I think I might just be the luckiest person on planet Earth in college hoops. I had NC State Moneyline. I was watching the game at home last night, just thinking, okay, I probably lost one 2-1 day or whatever. Buzzer beater off the glass to force overtime. And then my man DJ Burns in overtime just takes over, the big fella for the Wolfpack. And NC State goes ahead and knocks off Virginia. They're the hot hand in the ACC tournament.
It's tough now to win four games, but I know I saw several of our hosts and handicappers on the network tweeting late last night after New Mexico dispatched Colorado State. New Mexico has now knocked Virginia out. With the Virginia loss and the New Mexico win, they believe, I know JVT was one that said that, they believe that New Mexico has taken Virginia. That game tipped at 9 p.m. Pacific. Tipped on Friday or Saturday morning on the East Coast. So
How much of the committee was watching that?
Well, they'll get the box score.
The Ken Pom report. They'll do that.
Did you see Ken Pom was on Sharp Money this week?
I did see that. I didn't get a chance to catch out the segment, but I did see that Ken Pomeroy was on was on Sharp Money. So good get for those guys there. We have a fun couple of hours for you guys here. Obviously, college basketball heavy. We'll do some NFL as well throughout the show, but we have two guests joining us starting in 30 minutes. Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, the professor, will join us to break down some college hoops here in about 30 minutes. Then at 8:30 West Coast time, 11:30 Eastern, our buddy Aaron Wilson, NFL Insider insider for KRPC in Houston. We'll discuss the Texans. Have they made that next step to contender status up there with the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens? We'll ask that to Aaron Wilson in hour number two. But I did want to ask you about what we've seen so far this week in conference tournaments here, because there's the whole stat, the trend that everybody discusses. Teams who failed to reach their semifinals of their conference tournaments have not won the national title since the tournament expanded in 1985. And we have some interesting teams that failed to do that. We have the likes of Creighton, Tennessee, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. Are you concerned for those teams heading into next week? And which of those teams do you think has the best chance of maybe bucking that trend?
That's very interesting. Yeah, I saw it tweeted out as a team that lost their conference opener, which yep. I guess this would cover in a Venn diagram, yeah. almost all of it. I thought of the losses, the one that I was most surprised by, and it was the nature of it, and I just mentioned, was Tennessee getting just thoroughly destroyed from the get, dominated by a Mississippi State team, right? So mm-hmm. yeah, here we go with, you know, I kind of peer pressured Paulie into not taking Purdue in our blackjack tournament draft, because he says, are you going to mock me if I take Purdue? I said, oh, absolutely. And he ended up taking Tennessee, and he got mocked on Twitter because he always talks about Rick Barnes, right?
He said, no, I'm not going to take Matt Painter. I'm going to take Rick Barnes.
And he didn't take Barnes greater than Painter. I mean, he says, well, if you wouldn't have mocked me, I would have taken Purdue at eight. You know, they were whatever, if Paulie finished eighth or seventh, right? They're still yeah. there, right?
And so whoever, they were ninth, weren't
whoever,
they?
Whoever took them, I think Paulie was eighth. Whoever took them, you know, I don't want to make fun because I'm not necessarily friends with them, but I said, yeah. you know, they chose tournament stalwart Purdue. So I think the Tennessee loss was most concerning. I never thought Duke was going to make a deep run. I know Mitch mm-hmm. is in love with Kentucky.
We talked about their defense for weeks. How about yesterday?
I can't get there, right? And when have they played six consistent games all year? And
ever.
You know, maybe you can argue they don't need a great game in the first round, but you're still going to have to play five good games, right? And yep. they have not done that. They've shown flashes of it. So Kansas is the walking wounded. I don't think they've got a shot. Creighton's got some injury problems as well. I think Tennessee is the one that, for to say to that trend that they're not going to do it, because mm-hmm. I thought maybe with Connect and the score and a guy that could create his own shot and their ability to defend, Barnes had a shot. He did take Durant, you know, he did take Texas to one Final Four. Yeah,
but that was a TJ Ford team.
Yeah. So I would say most disappointing for Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee right now 16-1 to win the national title over at DraftKings. Of those teams that lost, I don't think I want any parts of any of them. Like Tennessee, Kentucky, like Kansas, you can have them all. I don't want any of it.
Kansas is not going to make the second weekend, I don't think.
If they can get healthy, maybe. But like we said last week, like it wouldn't shock me if they got bounced out early on. Like they're in line to be like, what, like a six or four seed right now. They're a four seed in Joe Lenardi's bracket. They would be playing Charleston there. Obviously, this is just a projection. We'll find out the real bracket coming up tomorrow afternoon. But yeah, if they're like a four or a five, they better watch out, because if those guys aren't fully healthy and they miss the entire one game since they lost in their first game, but they were going to miss the entire Big 12 tournament. So clearly these are significant injuries that they want to go ahead and give them some runway to get healthy for the NCAA tournament. But they need McCullers and they need Dickinson. They need those guys to be healthy. Otherwise, it's curtains on the Kansas.
I'm not sure if they're healthy. They're even a top 12 team. Yeah. In our draft, interestingly, it went UConn first, Houston second, and then Auburn was picked third, which, I mean, they haven't done anything to dispel that since in the last week. And they
a chance to win the SEC tournament.
Again, crushed South Carolina, just like they did when they played in Auburn a couple yeah. weeks ago, right? So, yeah, they got a real good chance to win the SEC tournament. And can they land on a two line?
Ooh. The fact that they're beating some of these like lesser teams in the SEC, I think they needed to beat like a Kentucky, yeah. one of those, to get the credit to get up to the two line. My guess is that they'll just stay on the three if they win it, just because there's been so many upsets in that tournament. But Auburn, they have a chance. I mean, like, they're balanced as well. They have good offense. They have good defense. Pearl, he's taken Auburn to the Final Four in the past, back in 2019 when it was in Minneapolis. So it wouldn't be a stunner if the Auburn Tigers made the Final Four coming up in a few weeks here.
Is Iowa State guaranteed the two line by making the finals of the Big 12?
I think so.
I do, too.
I think so.
I do, too. That's interesting.
I think it might be live today.
We'll see. I know you have almost a handful of plays. for the folks coming up. I it was funny because
we're seeing the board. I don't know. Everything's like, coming up, Femi.
I had Loyola of Chicago. They went 8 minutes and 40 seconds without scoring.
They missed
four dunks in that 8 minutes.
That's tough. I think they almost
fouled a guy shooting a three to lose the game.
I think they might have had a similar drought against Ohio State like a couple tournaments ago.
You don't score the last 6.5 minutes of regulation to go to overtime, and you don't score the first 2 minutes of overtime. It was funny on Wednesday, like people were talking about how many times are we going to hear Hilton South talking about T-Mobile, but it's true.
True.
They always travel really well. And I know Vegas was in the bidding to try to get the Big 12 to come here, at least on a rotational basis for basketball, which I thought was a bit of a stretch, but you were adding the four Western teams. Of course, they re-upped with Kansas. I always thought Kansas City, of all the conference tournaments, was the perfect spot when it was the Big 8 and the Big 12.
It makes the most sense.
I know they moved it to Dallas a few years, but Kansas City, Kemper was great, and so is T-Mobile.
Yeah. Tell West Virginia to come on out to Las Vegas for the Big 12 tournament. Yeah. I mean, none of it makes any sense there, but it's a shame that tonight will be the final Pac-12 tournament game between Oregon and Colorado.
They become a three-bid league.
It could become a three-bid league.
They wouldn't have been. I don't think they would have been. I thought it would just be Arizona and Washington
State. Maybe they're a four-bid league.
You think so? You think Colorado can get in, too?
I think they can get in if they lose tonight. Yeah.
Oregon's got to win, don't they?
Yeah, Oregon has to win. Mm-hmm. Yep. But Dana Altman in March. We'll discuss that a little bit later on in the show. But coming up next, let's turn our attention to the Gridiron NFL News and Notes next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new VSiN.com. How about our guy Matt Youmans posting his college basketball best bets today for conference championship Saturday? Make sure you check it out, newvsin.com today, the revamped website. A lot of hard work went into getting this website up and running. So make sure you check that out and Youmans' article for those college basketball best bets. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abefefe alongside Mike Palm filling in for Michael Lombardi. We'll get back to the college hoops coming up in 15 minutes. Our buddy Aaron Moore, the professor, he's joining us to break down some college hoops, give out some best bets, who he likes, maybe some potential teams to eye for next week when the brackets are out and the tournament gets going.
Forensics, our friend Forensics, is always concerned about the professor giving his students losing picks. He's very, as if that's what Aaron's doing at Ryder. I mean, that's
just giving out picks. We're not teaching anymore. That's a special person, I think I got. Let's get to the NFL, though. Yesterday afternoon, we saw the New York Jets bolster their offensive line, taking my guy, Tyron Smith, from the Dallas Cowboys.
Femi, you have a lot to say about that. I mean,
I saw his whole career.
All right.
You know, I saw his whole career. He's a really good player. Unfortunately for him, injury is the concern. That's why he had to wait until Friday night, East Coast time, to go ahead and sign. But he signs a one-year deal to be the blindside protector for Aaron Rodgers. And if you could point to a sign of weakness for the Jets last season, it was that offensive line and quarterback play and play caller. But they at least shore up the O-line, not bringing Tyron Smith in.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, in general, no position player outside a quarterback can move a line more than a point in the NFL. He's a guy that I know in handicapping Dallas games, his availability was key. And meant a big difference for many years, and he was injury prone. But, I mean, taking a shot with him, I think, is a great move for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, there was always the on-off splits with Tyron Smith. Like, for Dak Prescott, like, numbers with Tyron Smith on the field, numbers without him, and it was a drastic drop-off there. So, like, he's a guy that is definitely impactful, moves the line whenever the Cowboys are playing. And it's unfortunate because, like, he's age 33 now, which is not the oldest player that you'll ever find, but once he got to 30, the injuries started to pile up because he was durable his first, like, what, 7-8 years in the league? Never missed a start. And then now it's all of a sudden he misses about 4 or 5 starts every single season. But for the Jets, they're hoping that he can stay healthy as they've added him, John Simpson. Are you a little bit more optimistic about this Jets team heading into this season? Now, Rodgers, of course, is coming off of the Achilles, but he's had a lot of time to sort of rehab. I would anticipate he's good to go maybe for the mini camp and the OTAs. As long as Rodgers is healthy and focus on playing football instead of other stuff, like the Jets, they at least have a better roster this year than what they had last year, in my opinion.
They do. I mean, the offensive line was a tough spot because of also the run blocking. Let's be honest about it.
Yep.
In addition to protecting the quarterback, I look because I'm so focused on divisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I look at the division and I say, how do I feel about the Jets is very relative to what I feel about Buffalo and Miami going forward. And if you think the Buffalo window is closing, and if you think that Miami might have been a little fugazi, there's an argument to be made for the Jets, right? But somebody was asking me about how do I determine Super Bowl futures. Like, unless you're the one seed, right? You're going to have to go on the road and win these playoffs, and you're going to have to win three, right? And so you have to handicap the divisions because nobody thinks you're going to pick a team at the start of the year and say, well, they're going to win three road games and get to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
And winning three games is hard enough, and having to go on the road and win at least one of them is hard enough. So, you know, I still want to wait for the draft, obviously. I'm not going to make any futures until the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe individual things because, you know, will Kirk Cousins do something or, you know, different places and the big splash moves or Russell Wilson until the draft. But I think the Jets are doing this the right way, obviously.
Yeah, no, they realized that they had an issue with an offensive line, and they're getting it corrected. And like, say what you will about the New York Jets, and I was not a fan of the Jets last year. I don't think anybody was based on how they were playing. Their defense was still at least like up there in the top tier in the NFL statistically. Like, they were still having pretty good numbers. The DVOA numbers put the Jets in the top five in terms of what they were doing defensively. So if they can fix this offense, get a little bit more balanced, you get Aaron Rodgers with that defense. And I don't know if I trust the coaching staff with Saleh and Hackett and those guys, but at least you'll have enough players to get some regular season success. Postseason might be a different story, but the regular season, this team should be a playoff contender. Otherwise, it's just another failure of a season.
Any deterioration from Rodgers, just in terms of age and missing a whole season?
It's got to factor
it's
in.
It's got to be a concern.
It's got to be.
Right?
I mean, it was a concern like heading into last year, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, how is this going to work out? He didn't really play his best in 2022 for the Packers. And then entering into 2023, we're all kind of curious to see what happened. Unfortunately, fourth play of the season, he's done for the rest of the year. So I think there's a little bit of concern. But I mean, with the all-time greats, I tend to give them a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. He's one of those all-time greats, being a four-time MVP. So I guess it's one of those, I got to see it for an extended period before I kind of totally write him off as like, okay, he's on the downside.
I know he's not missing as long, but he's older. But, you know, Deshaun has yet to come back to anywhere close. He's had like one good game now in what, how many starts,
like
a year
three,
and a half?
3 years almost.
I mean, it's just, and that factors into my mind when I think about somebody that's gone a year, and then it's also at that age, if they might build the team around him and he's not anywhere what we thought he could be.
You surprised the Steelers traded Kenny Pickett?
I was surprised when I heard this yesterday.
I thought it was going to be a competition.
Like, Russ can't have any. I mean, we can't have somebody looking over. Like they said,
apparently they Russ got assurances before he signed.
They don't want Flacco looking over
Deshaun Watson.
But then they go and sign Jameis, right? I mean, like, I thought, is it DTR the quarterback and Wayne? They wouldn't play PJ. He won two out of three games, a tip ball off a helmet. I mean, seriously.
PJ cost him in Seattle.
Well, 2 minutes, it was a tip ball, hit a helmet. But it would clearly, I said they wouldn't sign Flacco because they want DTR to clearly be the quarterback in waiting. And then they go in and they put Jameis in.
Well, I don't think they wanted the controversy with Flacco. Saying
Flacco should start, right?
Exactly. And like the fan base, I think, had like galvanized around Flacco the way the season ended. If Watson gets off to a rocky start, then
Jameis has got to be the three, doesn't he? From the way that they consider DTR?
I think they realize DTR is a little bit further away than they thought.
Who didn't know that? And who didn't know Deshaun would suck? I mean, the tie. Well, they tied.
Five quarterbacks, 11 wins.
What a narrative.
My king,
what
Kevin Stefanski.
What a narrative.
King Stefanski. I love that guy. But right now,
why did the Eagles want him? And also, how about the other side of that?
Apparently, he grew up an Eagles fan. I don't get it.
The hometown boy in Pittsburgh.
It's like he's all the way Pittsburgh, went to Pitt, and it's like, oh, by the way, he was an Eagles fan growing up, and there's like a photo of him in an, I think it was like a Carson Wentz jersey that he was wearing, which tells you what kind of judgment he has. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are still like the long shot in the AFC North, plus 950. Ravens are the favorites, plus 115. Well, Cincinnati, plus 165.
What were they Cleveland when we did that guessing game with Ortega? Weren't they like 13-1? Because like she's like, could the Steelers, that's why when you, that's that division, you said, the Steelers can't be 13-1.
I thought they were like 5 or 6. They were 13. So apparently now they're plus 950. So somebody's grabbing some Pittsburgh Steelers. That to me, it just feels like such a close division. Like, I still don't think the Steelers should be as long as plus 950. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go out and run out and make a bet because I like to see the schedule first before I make any sort of bets in the NFL season long. But I think that all these teams are really competitive together and they're all going to beat up on each other. Should a team really be plus 950 before the start of the season? Like, I have a hard time squaring up with that.
Yeah, I get it because the defense is really, really good. But yeah. When you think about the Bengals back with Burrow and the Ravens were the one seed and, you know, you got the coach of the year there in Cleveland and
two-time coach of the year,
a good home defense, I guess. I mean, they couldn't travel at all, which is they got to figure that out. Yeah, maybe it's long. Maybe 13-1 was too long.
That was way too
long. This might be closer to what it should be, around 10-1.
I guess somebody has to be a long shot if the division is what it is. Yeah. And Baltimore just gets so much credit, especially in the regular season, what they're able to do, winning like 12, 13 games whenever Lamar is able to stay healthy. But even Cleveland at plus 550, we forget that that roster, the reason why Stefanski won coach of the year, that roster was decimated.
Yeah.
Their tackles were out. Chubb was out. All these injuries that they had, even on defense. If they're able to stay healthy and they can get something better from Watson, they added Jerry Jeudy, maybe Cleveland's live.
They were doing it with Ford. I mean, they really were the walking wounded. I liked them last year. And part of the reason I say about it is I said I loved them. I thought they would win 10 or 11 games because of the defense. The defense is really good at all three levels and that. So it's tough. I mean, look how much traction the Bengals have gained. I mean, plus 165 is awful short, too, when you're going into a division with a team that was the one seed.
But the quarterback that you trust the most in that division is Joe Burrow, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I think that's why we're seeing that plus 165. It's at the end of the day, Burrow's one of those guys that can go into any building and win a football game. We've seen him do that, winning the AFC title game at Arrowhead in his second year as a quarterback in the NFL. Other quick notes, Aaron Donald, he retired from the Los Angeles Rams. I think that's a big loss for the Rams. It's unfortunate because they started to turn things around. I liked what they did on terms of the offensive line and adding some guys, but Donald now retiring after 10 years. He's going straight to the Hall of Fame in 5 years. They're one of the best defenders ever in the National Football League. So the Rams have to figure out how to replace him throughout this offseason. But Aaron Donald retiring from the Los Angeles Rams after a 10-year career. That's all make the Pro Bowl in all 10 of those seasons. All right, the professor, Aaron Moore, joins us next year to break down some college hoops on this conference championship Saturday.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? You should correct that right now because you can get VSiN Pro access to everything that we do through the NCAA Championship Week leading up to Selection Sunday tomorrow. You can sign up on VSiN.com/Champ Week. You're going to get the daily best bets. You're going to get the betting split, the premium analysis, the systems, the 24/7 video access, but most importantly, our all new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's tomorrow, folks. VSiN.com/Champ Week. Get it done. You still got time right now. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. He's Mike Palm. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out here on Conference Championship Saturday. And to help us break down some of these conference championships game, we're bringing in the professor, Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, here to break down some college hoops. Aaron, we appreciate you waking up with us here on the Progressive Guest Line, here on the Lombardi Line. Before we get into some of your plays, I wanted to ask you, because I'm curious, we've been having this sort of debate throughout the network about which team we should trust here. Who would you rather trust of the Wildcats? Arizona, who lost last night to Oregon, or Kentucky, who lost yesterday and giving up points once again, showing their defensive weaknesses?
Thanks for having me, guys. If I had to look at those two teams, it's Kentucky. Kentucky has the better players. They have the depth. I know Calipari hasn't done well in the last few tournaments, but he has a better track record. And I look at Kentucky, it's almost like a Rubik's Cube. It could look ugly if you can't get things to align, but if things align, they could be the most talented team in the country. So do you want a talented team? You can get them in that 20 to 25 range in that ballpark. If they have the talent and it aligns, they look great. So Arizona, on the other hand, I want no part of Arizona. If we talk about all the contenders, I really think of what they did in the Pac-12 tournament just shows who they are. And they're going to be really tough to back past the second round, I would say.
Professor, we'll get to your plays, but I want to ask about this game that's going to tip off in a half hour. It seems like a tradition of Championship Saturdays. We're going to start it in Burlington, Vermont, right? And they're always hosting this America East game. They had to go to overtime to beat Lowell as a 2.5-point dog back in January on the road. Lowell was favorite, and Lowell finished second. It's interesting. Interesting that Vermont's lone conference loss is to New Jersey NJIT, who only won three conference games. But anyhow, they beat him by 12. Do you have any thoughts on this first game this morning?
So, Mike, I wanted to play Lowell. They're a decent team. I wanted to play them. But as you said, the day before Selection Sunday, we wake up and always seem to watch a game in Vermont. And the reason why I haven't taken Lowell as much as I want to is think about that atmosphere, that little small gym, the television cameras, the crazy kids. I just don't know if Lowell's going to get any calls. I want to take them, but I'm going to say the environment here and everything working in Vermont's favor. You know, maybe if it got to 10 points, it'd be hard to say no to 10 points, but that number looks good. And there's so much working in Vermont's favor. I'm going to stay away from that one.
Yeah, it feels like the Catamounts are a staple every year in March. They're in the tournament every single season. We're speaking with Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, breaks down college hoops, also a professor of sports media at Rider University. That's the nickname, the professor. Let's get to the SEC title game. This one tips off 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock West Coast time. Mississippi State against Auburn. Feels like Auburn is the lone contender of this SEC tournament since a lot of those teams have gotten knocked off yesterday. They're laying 8, total 143. What do you like, side or total, in this game?
So, Femi, if we're going to talk about teams to trust, I think we're going to put Auburn as one of the hot teams that you have to look at now going into Selection Sunday. I took the total in this. I got it last night at 142.5. We see it's 143 now. I think if there is a bankable commodity in the SEC and maybe in the tournament, it's this Auburn offense. I think Auburn can score. I think they can get it into the high 80s. Mississippi State, on the other hand, I think the first thought is a Chris Jans team is all defense. Well, I think they can get into the mid 60s. If we look at this Auburn offense, last three games, 86, 92, 101. They are clicking, and Mississippi State played very well. I think their offense can contribute, get into that mid-60s, and we look at what they've done in recent form, probably made themselves a tournament team. They've gone over mid-60s every game since February 10th. So I think this lines up for scoring on Auburn's side, and what I'm going to hope for is Mississippi State keeps it close because I do think Auburn's going to get out to a quick start.
3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific in Fort Worth, the semifinals, the American Conference, Alabama, Birmingham against South Florida. South Florida has really been a terrific under the radar team this year. Laying 2.5 in this spot, South Florida. We've seen the total tick down from 146 to 144.5.
Mike, I got this one at 146 last night, and I think it is interesting. When we talk about college basketball from a betting perspective, from a media perspective, from a fan perspective, we're not talking about South Florida. That team can do things on the defensive end. They kept East Carolina, not a great team, but they kept them under 60 points, 59. So the defense is really going well, and now they're playing UAB, and UAB is an interesting team. They can play a defensive game. They can play an offensive game. I think this is a game where USF can keep their style defensively, and I got it under that 146. I think this is a team that you really need to talk about. Can they win the AAC, and then what can they do in the tournament? If they play, USF plays a team that's offensive-minded in the tournament, I think they have a chance to pull off an upset, and I think being overlooked, we have to look at this might be a team that has some value come the first round.
Hey, Aaron, what did you think of the Purdue Boilermakers yesterday? They skate by, or it's kind of scrapped by, Michigan State yesterday in Minneapolis in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. And now they're taking on Wisconsin here. They're laying 5.5 totals, 143. What did you make of Purdue's performance yesterday? And what do you think that their prospects are going into the tournament coming up next week?
I didn't bet that game yesterday, but I looked at it as a recon mission. If we're going to talk about teams not being talked about, boy, is Purdue talked about, and not talked about in a positive way after what happened to them in the first round last year. I was concerned with what I saw with Purdue yesterday against Michigan State. Michigan State did not play well, but they hung through the entire game. And then what happened in the second half of that game is exactly what happened with Fairleigh Dickinson last year. Yes, Zach Edey, 29 points. He's going to score 29 points by just rolling out of bed. That's nothing really great because he gets the ball down low. He really uses a good job, his left hand clearing some space for his hook shot. But the problem yesterday and the problem we saw last year, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, both of them only scored 5 points. If Purdue's going to win, they have to have outside inside. Those two did not play well. And then towards the end of the game, if you see it, Zach Edey was slowly walking up the court. And that's exactly what happened against Fairleigh Dickinson last year. So I think this is a really big danger zone for Purdue. But I don't want to bet Wisconsin because I'm not high on Wisconsin. We don't know what's going to happen with Chucky Hepburn. I've been following that. He says he's going to play, but is that really bankable information to use? Wisconsin is a team I have no confidence in. But I think if we see the same type of issues with Purdue, where the guards aren't scoring, Edie's scoring, but then eventually running out of gas, I think you have to be concerned with Purdue going into next year, into the next tournament. Yes, they're going to be one of the top seeds. I don't think I'm going to bet a 16 against them. I don't think Haley's Comet comes 2 years in a row, but I am going to be concerned with them. And if I had futures plays on Purdue, I would not be confident in any way.
Professor Moore at the Orleans Arena tonight will have the championship game of the WAC tournament. Our friend and coworker Ben Wilson had got to call two buzzer beaters this week as UT Arlington hits the jumper to knock out Tarleton. Grand Canyon 28-4 headed into this game. You have a future position that you might be interested in making a wager on this game because of.
Yeah, first of all, Ben Wilson, awesome. Great to watch those games. He's done a really good job. So I have a futures position on Grand Canyon to make the NCAA tournament. That was winning the WAC. They didn't look great last night against Seattle. I was hoping they were playing Tarleton State because then they would have gotten the bid. Tarleton can't go to the tournament. That didn't happen. So I'm in an interesting position to possibly monetize my ticket. I've got Grand Canyon 2000-1 to go into the tournament, and hopefully I can do something with it there. But that number, that six, is killing me here, Mike, because it's a perfect number. And I don't really know how to monetize this one. And I don't want to have a bet. I think this is an interesting aspect. I don't want to just take a negative EV bet, just to say I'm on both sides of it. I'm concerned about Grand Canyon. That 6 points, I was hoping for 7.5, 8. So what I'm going to do with this one, there's going to be a lot of Vegas support for Grand Canyon. The city looks purple from everything I've seen on television at the Orleans. So I'm going to wait and hope there's a little bit more Grand Canyon support. Come back on Arlington. I'm really looking for about 7.5 points. I think that gives me a good situation.
If it doesn't move, would you buy it up?
Yeah, I think that's the move to do right before tip off. I'll look to buy it.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Aaron Moore, college basketball analyst here at VSiN, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. All right, we'll be back to discuss some more college hoops on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Listen up. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code TLL when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. This one is crafted specifically for our VSiN listeners and viewers. Take advantage of it. This is the best time of the year to go ahead and do that. Or maybe you wait for Thursday. Who knows? If it's still available there, make sure you go ahead and check that out. TLL is the promo code. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abembefe alongside Mike Palm here on the DraftKings Network. Thank you to Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, college basketball analyst, also professor of sports media at Rider University.
He was on Thursday morning with Mitch and Paul, and he gave out an early morning winner in the MAC, like first half total that won by 20.
That's pretty good.
Everybody liked to get off the day on Front Street.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. We do have actually some early games that are about to tip off in roughly 20 minutes. Ivy League semifinals, Brown-Princeton. Looks like the Princeton Tigers, 10-point favorites, total 138.5 for those that are invested in some of that Ivy League action. Do you dabble in some of the Ivy League stuff here?
Not usually. You know, this Princeton team is pretty good. You talk about, and Yale's in the other semifinal, yep, because remember Yale played Kansas, and I think they covered by a half point. That game was like 15.5 or 16, and they played more high profile. But, you know, I was looking at this game. Princeton won at Rutgers this year. And their only loss out of conference, they're 24-3. They did lose two conference games. Their only loss out of conference is at St. Joseph. So it's a pretty good Princeton team. They swept the season series here. Didn't cover at home, laying 13.5, won by 9. Laid 6.5 when they were at Brown in February, won by 10. I think this number is about right. I would lean Princeton. Like Aaron says, if it was a point different. But yeah. You know, 8.5 maybe, but this game kind of got away from 9, 9.5, now 10. So it's probably a no play, but I do like Princeton in this spot.
Yeah, big number there. Tigers laying 10 in the Ivy League semifinals. I want to get to the Big Ten and to discuss the Big Ten and SEC semifinals game, because we'll start hour number two with the championship games and the other power conferences. But we have Wisconsin and Purdue. And last segment, Aaron said he cannot trust Purdue based on what he saw against Michigan State. Sparty didn't even play that well, and they were able to cover and hang within that game. There was times watching that game, if Fletcher Loyer didn't make that corner three near the end of regulation, I think Sparty might have actually pulled off the upset in that game. Now they're laying 5.5, total 142.5 against on Wisconsin.
So because I went to Phoenix yesterday, I didn't get to watch a lot of these games. One I did, because I landed, was watch this game. I don't like to criticize the officiating, but I thought Purdue had a very friendly whistle. One guy drew 5 charges. They got every call against Michigan State. I thought Michigan State was going to come back and win the game when they got it tied in the second half. So it's interesting, when these two teams played in Wisconsin, it was number 2 versus number 6. People forget Wisconsin was ranked 6 in the country at one point. And then last Saturday? They played Sunday, I think. The steal at the end of the game with the backups to cover, and then laid up if you had 10, and then it was a push, and they laid it up. I think Wisconsin keeps this game close, and you're seeing Wisconsin money. I didn't make a play on the game, but I would look to try to find positions against Purdue.
Yeah, Sportsbook's got my Wisconsin money. I took the 5.5 with the Badgers here. And I think there's just something about these conference tournaments that I like to play into, a little bit different than the regular season, because you get the consecutive days with games. Sometimes teams just get hot. And I think Wisconsin's kind of getting hot. They've sort of found that mojo again from earlier in the season when they were the 6th-ranked team in the country and playing a little bit better. They found something here in Minneapolis. So I'm playing on the Badgers. It wouldn't shock me if Wisconsin wins. I didn't play any money line plus 195, but I did take the 5.5 with Wisconsin here, just because I think once you get those teams rolling here, 3 consecutive days, it gets a little, those kids get in rhythm. It's a little bit different than the every other day that you get in the NCAA tournament. I think teams can get hot, and I like to ride the hot hand in some of these conference tourneys. So I'm not fading the Badgers. I'm backing them. We're fading Purdue. Give me Wisconsin plus 5.5.
Too bad they couldn't get hot the 14 straight possessions Iowa didn't score when I had them, and only cut the deficit by 2.
That game will go in the annals of Live Bet Saturday. Wisconsin, Iowa, in Iowa City. How about the other semifinal, though? Nebraska and Illinois. I don't think many people thought Nebraska would get here.
Know they were the three seed in this tournament? Are they? We talk about USF under the radar. How about Nebraska?
Yeah.
Quietly being the 3 seed in the Big Ten, 13-8 in conference. Like, Illinois, Nebraska is the 2-3 matchup in the semifinal. It's the formful side of the bracket, and they've done it very, very quietly. The teams only met once. I remember the game. I had Nebraska. They were catching 9.5 at Illinois. They should have won the game, lost in overtime, but led down the stretch. I think they were up 4 at one point in the last 2 minutes, led in overtime. Illinois eventually pulled it out. I think this is going to be a close game, and the line reflects that, right? I mean, it's gone down 6 points now. I know it's a neutral, but that would really only account for 3 of it. So I think you're getting respect for the Cornhuskers in this number.
Yeah, it feels right to me. I didn't really want to play into this game here just because it's like both of these teams playing pretty well heading into this tournament. Just go ahead and pass the game, see what happens. Maybe an in-game opportunity presents itself, but it's not what I'm going to be dialed in on.
Illinois trailed most of that game against Ohio State, and I kept thinking, you know, Ohio State was a very chic pick in the Big Ten, right? As the 10, what was it, the 10? They were the 10 seed to go through.
That was a good game, too.
They played well against Iowa. They probably could have won. I think the 14th pick in our draft was Illinois. What do you think about Illinois as a
tournament team?
Tournament odds success. I think they were close to 30-1. I think what their pick was at the in the draft. I'd have to go back and look. But are they a second weekend team?
They feel a little like Kentucky light to me.
Yeah.
Another one of those offense, not great defensively. Now, it's not as bad defensively in terms of the metrics. It'll
probably be a 4 seed, right? You think they'll be on the 4 line?
It wouldn't shock me, though, if they got bounced out by a 13.
Yeah?
Really? Wouldn't. Yeah. Okay. If you're not going to defend, I have a hard time trusting you. And I'm not going to project you to get into that second weekend because you got to get stops. There's going to be a day where the shots aren't falling. You got to still figure it out. And those teams that don't defend when the shots aren't falling, curtains. See you later.
You got to be able to create offense off your defense too, right? I mean, those teams that have their bad shooting days find ways to turn teams over and get the game into a fast break game.
Funny you mentioned that about Illinois. 359th in KenPom turnover percentage defensively. So they force none. So it's like if the shots aren't falling, they're also not getting extra possessions. So what are you going to do? Just put your hands up and go home, I guess. Let's get to the SEC tournament right now. Mississippi State and Auburn. Aaron, he likes the over 142.5. It's up to 143 now. Tigers laying 8. I do agree with him, though, that this Auburn team is a team that I think you can start to trust as we head into next week.
I thought because their splits home and away were so dramatic, and that's that jungle's a very tough place to play. I thought maybe they were a little bit of a false team. Certainly heading into the year, this has to be one of the top 5 overachieving teams to where they thought they were going to be, right? Yeah. This is a really good team, and they can put it on you. I might tail Aaron here on this overplay. I think it's a pretty interesting play. I watched that Mississippi State LSU game. Like, it's funny because Mississippi State is so physical that they can just sort of exert that physicality inside to get to the bucket, to get shots, and to get to the line. LSU led in that game. I think they had it out to like an 8-point lead again at the under 16 timeout, and Mississippi State just blew right by them. 143. I'll probably take a small pop at that.
Mississippi State, this will be their third game in 3 days, of course, here. They played on Thursday against LSU, but both games they won pretty comfortably. Beat LSU by 10, beat Tennessee by 17. So it's not like, I don't know how much of a fatigue factors into this game here against Auburn, but the Tigers, they're balanced. They got on a sheet of paper, when you look at them, it's like, okay, they have the ingredients of what I want for a team that can make a deep run in the tournament. I almost kind of want Mississippi State to win this game so it keeps people off the scent of Auburn, so you can get a better number to bet them next week here. So that's kind of why I like Arizona even more after seeing what happened yesterday. It's like Oregon was making tough shots, but it keeps folks off the scent. As we talked to Aaron, he trusts Kentucky more than Arizona, which I disagree with vehemently. But hey, we all have our different opinions as to what's going to happen as we get to next week with the NCAA tournament. The last SEC semifinal, this one tips off 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. Florida taking on Texas A&M. Gators 3-point favorites, total 151.5.
So I'll tip my hand here. This is one of my college basketball plays. I like Florida in this spot. Yeah. I thought Florida was one of these teams under the radar that could make a run. It's very interesting in our draft. This SEC was so competitive, and I've kept talking about it. We just want to talk Big 12, because they had all these teams in the net 30, top 30. This SEC was very, very deep, and Florida lost a lot of games that could have went either way. Mitch, interestingly enough, bought the 16th pick because 1 and 2 drafted again because we had two no-shows. He bought the $1,000 future from a guy for $500 and then took Florida at 60-1. So essentially he has Florida at 120-1 in the tournament. And obviously, as they move through here, they're favored here. If you could get your Mississippi State upset or if they could beat Auburn, now obviously they're improving their seeding in the tournament with this run here. But they've looked good in this. Texas A&M went through such a tough stretch here. I don't know if they can put this many games in a row together.
Yeah, Buzz Williams and the Aggies, they knocked off Kentucky yesterday, 97-87. They beat Ole Miss on Thursday, 80-71. It'll be a tall task, but KenPom thinks this will be a close game, and that says the market right now with the Gators, 3-point favorites in Nashville later on this afternoon. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two, we get to the championship games coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.